But this morning, our scripture lesson comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 55. In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in my God, my Savior. For God has looked with favor on the lowly state of God's servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me in the Holy One of God's name. Indeed, God's mercy is for those who fear the Lord from generation to generation. God has shown strength with God's arm. God has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. The Lord has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. The Lord has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. The Almighty has come to the aid of his child Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise God made to our ancestors, to Abram and to his descendants forever." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Almighty God, you are our rock and our redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. December is the month when people invite others to their homes more than any other time of the year, and also the month when many of us feel most nervous about whether everything is clean enough, ready enough, good enough, and so welcome is complicated. And that's because we like welcome to feel warm and easy and familiar. We like welcome to feel comfortable for us and for others. But the truth is, the deepest, truest of welcomes, the kind God offers, are rarely comfortable. Sometimes real welcome stretches us. Sometimes it challenges us. Sometimes it asks more of us than we expected, which is why Mary's story is so powerful. Before she sings the Magnificat, the song that we just heard, before she proclaims God's great reversal, before she becomes the theologian of justice and hope we hear about in Luke's gospel, she is simply a young woman arriving at someone else's door, carrying news that she does not fully understand and waiting to see how she will be received. And the welcome she receives from Elizabeth becomes the doorway into everything that God is about to do. There is something deeply moving in the way Luke describes Mary's arrival. Mary has just received the most astonishing and overwhelming news of her life. She is young, she is unmarried, she is navigating her own fear, her own questions, her own reputation. And yet she sets out with haste, quickly, to the hill country, to the one person she believes might understand. The moment Mary steps into the doorway, Elizabeth doesn't ask questions, she doesn't demand explanations, she doesn't check credentials or clarity, she doesn't ask for her own angel to be sure that what Mary is saying is true. She doesn't measure Mary's worthiness or readiness. Instead, Elizabeth's whole being responds with joy. She feels the presence of God's work within Mary before she even says a word. She blesses her. She receives her. She welcomes her fully. Kara Eidson writes that welcome is the feeling of being safe and wanted. And I wonder if there's a difference between the two, because safe is one thing. Many churches say, you can sit here, you won't be harmed, but wanted, really wanted, means something far deeper. It means your presence is a gift. We're changed by you being here. It means we're grateful that you've come. And that kind of welcome is holy ground. 2 weeks ago, when we had the clothing locker, it was cold on Saturday morning. And normally our guests line up an hour before we open the doors and wait. And so as we were getting everything ready inside, Mark opened the doors and invited our friends to come sit in the sanctuary. Because it's too cold to stand outside. And that was a kind of unplanned, totally hospitable welcome for our guests. Come in, find warmth, have a seat. We can put all our welcome signs out in the yard, in our bulletins, or put them up on our website, but welcome isn't a proven slogan. Welcome is proven by what happens when someone crosses the threshold, by what happens when someone shows up carrying a story that isn't tidy or convenient, by what happens when someone brings news or identity or questions we weren't expecting. Elizabeth shows us that welcome, what welcome looks like in the kingdom of God. Kara Eidson reminds us that Mary is an unwed pregnant teenager in a patriarchal society living under Roman occupation. If we were choosing the circumstances for God to enter into the world, wouldn't we pick something else? There's nothing externally welcoming about Mary's setting. Her society could not guarantee her safety. Her culture did not immediately want someone like her. And yet God chose Mary. God wanted Mary. God welcomed her into the most world-changing participation imaginable. And Elizabeth echoes that divine welcome, which means Mary doesn't sing the Magnificat out of nowhere. She sings because she has been welcomed. She sings because someone has made space for her. She sings because Elizabeth recognizes the dignity and honor that others might overlook. This is the power of welcome. It gives people the courage to magnify God. Her song is not a sentimental lullaby. It is a proclamation. It is a reversal. It is a turning of the world toward justice and mercy. God has scattered the proud, lifted the lowly, filled the hungry, brought down the powerful, and remembered the promises of old. God's welcome does not simply say, come in and feel comfortable. God's welcome says, come in and be transformed. Come in and participate. Come in and join the work of bringing hope to a weary world. Real welcome asks us to grow. Real welcome asks us to see the privileges that we carry. Privileges of race and nationality and gender and economics, and to consider how our privileges shape our comfort. Real welcome asks us to make room, not only in our pews, but in our lives, in the ways we speak, in the ways we listen, in the ways we love. Real welcome is not passive. It is not polite. It is not quiet. Real welcome is what Mary sings about, a world turned towards God's justice. And now, at the end of this Stay a While series, we see how everything has been leading us here. Invitation, planning, preparation. Finally, welcome. It is not the order we'd choose for hosting, but Advent isn't about our hospitality. It's not just about our hospitality, it's about God's. God planned long before we understood. God invited long before we believed. God prepared the world through prophets like John, and now God welcomes us into the family of God that Mary proclaims in her whole being. Do we welcome as Elizabeth welcomed? Do we welcome as Mary sings? Do we welcome as God welcomes the world? Because the arrival of Christ invites us not just to feel welcomed, but to become welcomers. Welcomers of the unexpected. Welcomers of God's activity in surprising people. Welcomers of justice and mercy and joy. Welcomers of a future that looks different from our present. And when we welcome what God is doing, when we welcome the people God sends, when we welcome the change God is stirring, then we too join in Mary's song and magnify the Lord. Amen. Would you join with me in prayer? My prayer this morning will be one of intercession. I'll pray for a moment, and then in the silence, I'll offer this line, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," and you can say it with me or repeat it after. Lord, we wait with eager expectation for the coming of your kingdom, when the humble will be exalted and the hungry fed. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, we prepare for your advent with searching minds and contrite hearts, trusting in your healing spirit and redemptive love. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, we watch for those who wait and weep, longing to see the rule of justice and the reign of peace. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, we seek you among the despised and rejected, knowing that there we will find your light shining in the darkness. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, we proclaim sight to the blind and liberty to the oppressed, trusting in your tender mercy and passion for justice. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, we work with others to proclaim your truth, the challenging, the mighty, and the rising, the meek. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Lord, we wrestle with our hopes and our fears, our struggles and our joys, laboring with creation to come to new birth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Friends, here at the Gathering at Scott Memorial, we join in a prayer each Sunday that leads us in our lives and as a church through being God's hands and feet. So let us pray together. God, help us to gather with you to feed the body, mind, and spirit while being Christ's hands and feet. Help us to love and serve our local community. In Jesus' name, amen.